So what really came out that currently in Quebec we're being fed with a very narrow and limited perspective of what it means to be a Muslim woman. And so this story, this really counters that narrative and really demonstrates that there's a multitude of ways to be a Muslim woman. There's a multitude of ways to be a feminist and to live your Islam. So it's very important right now.
It's often in the current discourse, there's the saying that Muslim women are oppressed because of their religion. What would you say when people tell you things like that?
Well, I think that first of all, everybody has a sense of agency, a sense of power, and so telling people that they are oppressed and speaking for them is taking away that power and putting them into one category. So that's why I would say it's very important for every woman and every human being to be able to define their own identity. And it's also very important to understand that liberation and freedom from oppression means a lot of different things to many different people.
You mentioned that the zine would also have something to do with the experience of racism in Quebec. And could you say something about that?
Well, I asked the participants basically if they had ever experienced racism in Quebec as related to their Muslim identity. And I can say that all of them have, unfortunately, in different contexts, since 9/11, since before. But right now it's at a very, very strong point against Muslim women. This zine is really for younger Muslim women. So by having these stories of, you know, women talking about the racism they faced and how they've dealt with it kind of is a way to inspire younger women and show them how oppression can be countered and how we can cultivate community and solidarity. Making sure that our voices are heard, making sure our thoughts and our words are heard, creating a community where we share these thoughts and also putting them out there in the world to say nobody can define me, and to educate people about Islam and to educate people about women's experiences in relation to their religion.
Could you say a few words about the diversity within the Muslim women community?
Well, I think there is, I mean, the diversity that exists is beautiful. It's very important and it shouldn't be a surprise. You know, it shouldn't be a surprise because Islam has reached so many cultures, so many continents. And it's something that a lot of people don't know. But it's something that we have to show and to talk about. And showing that diversity will really broaden the horizons of what it means to be a Muslim woman. And this zine shows that there's not one woman or two women that practice Islam in the same way. Okay. You know, we need to have more of these conversations within Muslim communities and outside as well, and just get our voices out there and our thoughts and our words.
Again, that was Sarah Mustafa Kamel, who made a zine last winter from interviews with Muslim women about their experience in Montreal. Next, I spoke to Huera Javier, a second-year law student at McGill University. She has published op-eds in the Toronto Star and other papers. She was part of the same panel presenting the zine. She explains how the lives of Muslim women have changed in Montreal since the beginning of the debates surrounding the proposed Quebec Charter of Values.
I think it's made everyone uncomfortable, and it's not something which I think is really understood, because you can look at hate crime statistics to see, you know, how are Muslim women affected, but for a community that's marginalized, often doesn't speak the language here and doesn't know how to access people in power or even the authorities, the hate crime statistic is one thing, but the general discomfort of walking down the street and having people comment to you the way it feels to be in the metro, you know, I can't imagine what it feels like for women who are wearing the hijab and then to look up in the metro and to see your face on there as something which is unwanted by this, you know, by the government and by the majority of the society. So that discomfort and the hurt that comes along with being ostracized is difficult to put into numbers. But it's a very real experience and one that needs to be paid more attention to. People should go out and just talk to Muslim women and see how they're feeling.
During the presentation, you mentioned that you had once worn the hijab and you decided to take it off. Could you speak a little bit about that?
So I wore the hijab for 10 years. I started when I was about 11 and I stopped when I was 21. And, you know, it was a very positive experience for me. I loved wearing it. You know, I started because my mother wore it and because it was, you know, something which was part of the way we practiced our faith in my family. And it really carried me. I think, you know, if I'm articulate today, if I'm able to speak today, it's because I was constantly, you know, answering for my religion and engaged in this discussion of what Islam meant. And so, but the thing about it is it became more political than religious because I felt constantly on the defensive. And while, you know, it was positive, at the same time, it was very burdensome to constantly having to answer for to other people about what your faith is. And in the end, I decided that wasn't sustainable for me to constantly be living my life with a view to how other people perceive me. So that's the reason that I stopped. And if I go back, it will be because I find, you know, spiritual grounding, as my mother has, for wearing the hijab, and not just, you know, the need to respond to what everyone else thinks of what Islam is.
And you mentioned how you feel as though the whole role of the Muslim woman and the veil or the hijab is really playing into this great Franco-Anglo divide. And if you could say something about that, and as well about the third solitude you mentioned.
So that's an idea I've been playing with in my head, is, you know, we have these two solitudes, which is the way I learned about Montreal, you know, is English and French. But there is really a third solitude here, which is the people of color and the minority communities, because I'm forgetting the name of the minister who published, the PQ minister who published in the New York Times an article about how this charter of values is the deciding, is the linchpin in Canada's multiculturalism and deciding its fate. And so essentially this is what's happened, is Quebec would like to build its identity as a place that is not about multiculturalism, it's about, you know, a particular national identity, whereas the rest of Canada has adopted this multicultural lingo which will not be sustained. And the people in the middle of this debate are the minority communities, because they are the ones on whose backs the difference between English and French is being negotiated. And how unfair and how horrible that this is the way, you know, that Muslim women and minority communities in general, be they Sikh or be they Jewish, are being used in this play between French and English identity.
You mentioned all this outpouring of aggressivity which came after the tragic death of this woman who strangled in an elevator of the metro here in Montreal. I was wondering if you feel as though there's always been an underlying xenophobia in Quebec, and that it's just coming out now, and some people argue that's a good thing that it's coming out in the open, or if you feel as though the charter itself is creating a xenophobia which was perhaps not existing before.
Mm-hmm. I think that there is xenophobia everywhere. It's in English Canada, it's in Ontario, it's in Quebec, everywhere, you know. We have the capacity, all people have the capacity for intolerance. But what we do in society is we create laws and we create a discourse which promotes tolerance and acceptance. And so what's happened here is that we've taken away all of those, what we call politeness, respectful discussion, common decency, and that has totally been eliminated in this discussion. And so xenophobia that existed here, probably existed here, has just, you know, the floodgates are open and anyone can say what they will. And the greatest example of that is, you know, the headlines from the charter hearings, whether it's the Pinault-Caron family or Lynn Chalot, the people who have been given free license to say whatever they wish about minority communities, and it's quite astonishing, the degree of bigotry. You know, xenophobia exists everywhere. It's not like Quebec is xenophobic, but it's about laws and it's about political discourse and it's about the leadership that your government takes and what the level that they set for the kind of conversation that you will be having at a public forum. And when I look at the charter hearings and when I look at the things that the Parti Québécois has been made acceptable, I mean, that level of leadership of maintaining a certain standard of decorum in society, which respects people's rights and which respects the dignity of all members of society, has totally dissipated. So when we see xenophobia here, it's just because people now have free license.
Okay, thank you. Is there anything else you would you know that I'm missing out that you feel is important to say?
Yeah, I think that you know it's a very negative discourse at the moment, and we have the power to change that. And so I would encourage people, you know, when you see a woman wearing a hijab, a Muslim woman, when you see someone wearing a Sikh turban, and you see them, when you see someone wearing a kippah, go smile and say hello, you know, because that's ultimately the level at which people live their lives, is their daily interactions. You know, it's an interesting word is microaggressions, and the way in which you can perpetuate racism in the smallest, tiniest ways, just by asking someone, oh, where do you come from, as if they can't come from here, or what language do you speak, as if they can't speak French. So in your daily interactions, if we can all, myself included, try to be a little bit more responsible and make sure that we're not perpetuating discrimination unknowingly and that we are being welcoming to each other, I think that will go a long way.